Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Thank you, brother. Good morning. It is a true blessing to be with you this morning. And I thank God that he is on the throne this morning and that there is no shadow in his presence. There is no inability to understand or comprehend in God's mind and his eyes. And I thank the Lord today that no matter where we've been, no matter where we are, no matter where we are going, he holds our tomorrow. It is a comfort and a strength in the times of distress, the times of uncertainty. And there's one thing that is true. Uncertainty is the order of the day in all of our lives, no matter when the things are like they are now or ever. We don't know what happens. Those phone calls that we get in the middle of the night, I loathe those, by the way. I do not like those calls when someone's life has been drastically changed. And it happens, and it's hard. But thank the Lord, the God that we serve, the God that we love, the God that created us knows exactly the storms that we will head into. And I thank the Lord that this morning we know, and the promise of Scripture is that God uses these. And we're going to see this morning how important it is to remember. I hope that if you have any distractions this morning, if you're able to turn off any TVs that you're not watching right now, if you're watching this on a cell phone or on a vice versa, on a computer or on a TV, make sure you turn off anything that you can to just make sure that the enemy can't use any other means by which to distract you, so that the word that God and the Spirit of God, most importantly right now, can reign preeminent, can do what it only can do. I know our adversary, the devil, loves to distract us. He loves to divide. He loves to do all of these things to keep us from hearing what God wants. And I just pray this morning that he would remove any of those that would come in the way of what God wants to do. If you have your Bibles this morning, I hope you have your physical Bible. If you will turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7, 1 Samuel chapter 7, we're going to look this morning at verses 9 through 13 of a message titled Rock of Remembrance. And I love this scripture. I love the whole entire picture of what's occurring in this chapter. A powerful story here about remembrance, and we're going to talk a lot more about that this morning. We often think when we go through difficult situations, you always hear, well, that's something that I would rather forget. As Christians, we need to remember something. The things that we go through, even the times that we fall weak in a sin sense, and God restores us through restoration and continues us in the plan and purpose he has for our life, it's important for us not to forget how we ended up in the situations that we were in. It's important to remember that God uses all of these things ultimately to form us, to grow us, to that place, that purpose, that ministry, that mission that God is going to ultimately entrust us with. You know, we often think, well, I've had a colored past, and it's fraught with messes, and it's just a real something God can't use me because I've done so many terrible things in my lifetime. See, that mindset is exactly what the enemy wants. He does not want us to understand that God allows us to go through things many times so that we can minister to others who will do the same thing or run into the same mess that you and I did at that point in our lifetime. And you and I, through the healing process and God teaching us and growing us, we are able to walk through those valleys with others when they're going through it. Don't see these things in your past as things that you need to run from. No, you need to not look back at those with positive memories. You need to see them for the sin that they are and the pain that they inflicted. But we're going to see this morning in a story of how important it is to remember what God has done, where God has delivered us, where God has brought us from. And again, I hope you have found 1 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 9 through 13 this morning of a message titled Rock of Remembrance. And if you are physically able, let's stand this morning out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Then Samuel took a young lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on behalf of Israel, and the Lord answered him. Samuel was offering the burnt offering as the Philistines drew near to fight against Israel. The Lord thundered loudly against the Philistines that day, threw them into such confusion that they fled before Israel. Then the men of Israel charged out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, striking them down all the way to a place below Bethkar. Afterwards, Samuel took a stone, set it upright between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, explaining, "The Lord has helped us to this point." So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israel's territory again. The Lord's hand was against the Philistine all of Samuel's life. Father God, I thank you this morning, Lord, for the promise, Lord, that you will fight for us. All we have to do is yield the battle to you. Father, commit all of our things, our paths, everything, God, to you, and you will go before us. Lord, I thank you for that promise this morning. God, I thank you this morning that we can bring everything to you, that your yoke is easy and that your burden is light. Father, I pray this morning, God, that your word would speak all over the place, Lord, as it goes forth this morning, that it would go forth in power. Hide me behind the cross today, Father, so you might do what only you can do and not allow me to get in the middle of what it is, God, or to hinder what you want to do. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's power and presence and ability to speak to hearts. Father, we know that you are the author of salvation. God, I pray that ones today will hear the gospel, hear the truth, the life-saving words that are found in this Bible we know, the basic instruction book before leaving earth. We hear it said so many times, God, and we just commit all of this to you, and we ask it in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Powerful story here. I really do love this story. We're watching Samuel here. Samuel's life, his whole entire life is so incredible, just to watch the faithfulness of Samuel. And a matter of fact, you just watch so many times the unfaithfulness of people around Samuel. You think of Eli's sons, and even Eli and not chastising his sons and straightening things up. And ultimately God, blesses the world with Samuel, in essence, and this history that we have in God's word, seeing this faithful commitment, this dedication to the Lord that we see played out in Samuel. So we see Samuel here again in verse 9. Samuel took a young lamb, offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on behalf of Israel, and the Lord answered him. First thing that I want to share with you comes from that verse this morning, and it is this. Life will include earth-shattering events. Now, you might not think that this is an earth-shattering event in a sense in Samuel's life, but listen, the Philistines were wanting to attack them. They had adversaries that wanted to see the destruction of Israel, of God's people. So this would have been one of those things that if God had not intervened, it would not have been good for Israel, would not have been good for God's people. So those are one of those times that in anybody's life during this period would have been able to look back and say, you know, we were in big trouble. The Philistines had these mighty fighting men, and we were just who we are. And if it hadn't been for God and his faithfulness, we would have been turned over to bondage. And praise God that he did not. And again, this is one of those times in their lives that would have been an earth-shattering event. It would have been this powerful picture of what could have happened, but what didn't happen because of God's mercy, his grace, and his faithfulness. You know, I think during my lifetime and the things that I've seen, I remember vividly, and I believe it was in the early part of 1986 in February, I was homesick from school one day when the Space Shuttle Challenger, I watched it live on TV when it exploded. I'll never forget that the rest of my life. I remember that vividly. I remember vividly September 11th of 2001. I was up in Washington, D.C. and had been up in Maryland at Home Depot right when I heard the first reports of a plane hitting the World Trade Center. I thought it was a joke because of the station that I was listening to. But as I was coming back down into Washington on the Beltway, I was on the east side of Washington on the Beltway, and you go down there and then you turn and come straight in and pass the Capitol and then go to G Street. But as I was on the Beltway getting ready to get off the Beltway, I remember, because you look down, you see Crystal City, but also where the Pentagon is, and I saw the first plume of smoke coming out of the Pentagon. Of course, I didn't know at that point what had happened. And then on the radio, just a few seconds later, they said there are reports that the Pentagon's been hit. And I'll never forget that, though, because at that point, as I turned into Washington, D.C., there were people stopping in the roads, right? I was right at the Capitol by this point, and people were leaving their cars in the middle of the street and running away. And ultimately, they thought the other plane, United, I think, 93, that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, was headed out. They thought was going to either hit the White House or the Capitol. But I remember that vividly in our life. I remember the Challenger. I remember 9/11. And many of you now will remember COVID-19 as this time, you know, the school shootings. There's so many different things that we remember in our lives. Some of you who are much older than I am remember JFK. All the things throughout history, these earth-shattering type of events that happen, they are going to happen, and there will be many more in our lifetime. Do we know what they're going to be? No, only God knows. But there are going to be earth-shattering events in our lifetime. But what do we do with this? What do we do with it? Listen to verse 10 and 11 again. Samuel was offering the burnt offering as the Philistines drew near to fight against Israel. The Lord thundered loudly against the Philistines that day and threw them into such confusion that they fled before Israel. Then the men of Israel charged out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, striking them down all the way to a place below Bethkar. Now, this second life application principle, I'm going to just tell you this powerful to me this morning. I pray it encourages you, and I pray it gets you a little excited this morning. Worship always comes before war. That's what we're seeing right here in this picture of what Samuel's doing. They're getting ready to basically go out into this battle, this fight. And what is Samuel doing? He offers this burnt offering as the Philistines drew near to fight against Israel. Samuel knew what was important. He knew that, they're coming near. We better go and we better start fighting. Oh, no, 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 no. Worship comes before war. And I think we miss this sometimes. I think in our lives, we are attacked. We're hit with a phone call in the middle of the night. We are blindsided by some social media post, or we're blindsided by a spouse that's packed her bags or packed his bags and they're getting ready to leave you high and dry. You find out that they've had this hidden life that they've been living and they're taken off to some other state with some person they met online or whatever else it might be. You and I have heard it all. Well, we've heard a bunch of it, but of course we know back in the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. But we get blindsided by things, and I think what happens is we go to war instead of worship before going to war. Meaning, the first thing that you and I need to deal with when the adversary tries to attack is we need to stop and pause everything. We need to stop immediately and allow a battle line to be drawn by God, for His glory, so that God can fight for us. Because I will tell you, there's a profound principle that's seen right here in these verses. When Samuel offers that burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to fight against Israel. The Lord thundered loudly against the Philistines that day and threw them into such a confusion that they fled before Israel. Now I got a question for you. What would have happened had Samuel not offered this sacrifice? Now, I bet you're going to easily draw a conclusion right there. Well, he offers this burnt offering as the Philistines drew near to fight. Well, I guess the Lord wouldn't have thundered loudly against the Philistines now, would he have? You've got it. How many times are you getting beaten in the battle? You're getting beaten in the wars. You're getting beaten at the front door by something that is literally a puff of air. Simply because you forget, and I forget, to go to worship before you go to war. Don't know how to get over that personality issue you've got. Don't know how to get over that trifling spouse, that situation at work, that heartless friend, mother, father, sister, brother. Don't know how to get over them, but you're going to war instead of worship before you go to war. See, what happens when you and I go to worship first, then we enter war in the proper perspective, and we enter war and we battle as God created us to battle versus how the carnal flesh desires to win and wage war, which is completely, categorically, always against everything that God's word and his will represents, because then we are walking in a battlefield in the enemy that he has baited us into, and we always lose because God is standing back and, in a sense, washes his hands of that battle because he was never invited to the battle in the first place. Worship always comes before war. How many of you right now are thinking about situations, even this week, where you haven't gone to the Lord in worship, meaning, hey, this sacrifice, when Samuel takes this and offers that offering to the Lord, that's what worship is. Worship is a sacrifice of worship to the Lord. God, I don't know what to do in this situation. Lord, you are Jehovah. Lord, you are God. You are the I Am. Father, you are the God that spoke this into existence in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Father, there is nothing that I'm about to go into that you don't know about. Father, I don't know how in the world I'm going to do this, but I know that you know. God, give me the words, give me the directions, place my feet, Father, with everything that I'm about to undertake, God. Give me strength, give me the boldness to stand with truth and righteousness for justice, your holiness being protected, your godliness that you desire me to walk in, Father, let that be a breastplate. Father, let the armor of you in everything that I say and do hinder my tongue from saying or doing anything that would hurt what your desire is to do through this situation, Father. And Lord, though you slay me, yet I will trust you. That's the mindset that followers of Christ need to have. But those mindsets don't come until you and I cultivate them and we deliberately live that life. Do you realize that you and I have to overtly choose? It's an overt act of our will to allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength. Well, I'm a Christian, so I don't know why I'm not joyful. I mean, if God wanted me to be, he'd give me some more joy. Well, wait a minute. No, stop. How about fleeing the foolishness of flesh? How about taking on the character of Christ, an overt act of our will? It is desiring not to have a negative countenance, not desiring to walk around half-cocked all the time, ready to blow somebody away mentally or with our tongues. How about saying, God, you know you created me. You know the wretchedness I am, Father, and you know that that deflects. It doesn't reflect, it deflects. God, transform my countenance. Teach me to love as you've created me to love, Father. Teach me to worship before I go to war, because see, I see God, everything's a war. God, teach me to worship, and then what you will do is lead me to the battles that you want me to fight, and you will also lead me away from ones that you do not want me to fight. Now listen to verses 12 again. Verse 12, we'll finish with that. I love this. Afterward, Samuel took a stone, set it upright between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, explaining the Lord has helped us to this point. Third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Let your Ebenezer, your rock of remembrance, remind you of God's faithfulness. Let your Ebenezer, which is a rock of remembrance, remind you of God's faithfulness. When we're going through things day in and day out, it becomes so monotonous, meaning it becomes, this, in a sense, the same old, that even when you're serving the Lord, it's hard to see sometimes how we're growing spiritually. And, you know, we can just become very complacent and apathetic, very easy. It's very easy to do. It's why it's so important for us to rededicate our lives to Christ and things. It's very, very important. Praise God. I had two people do that last week or the week before. Really awesome blessing to watch God work. As a matter of fact, it was last Sunday, I believe, it was another one. Very encouraging when I hear those things, though, because it reminds me, not only is God working, but those people, God's word has ignited the remembrance, in a sense, that remembrance that, hey, I've swayed. I've fallen away from where I should be. I know where I need to be. And that rededication is to rededicate themselves to that purpose and that plan that God has for them. See, even with right now, this COVID, okay, I want to tell you something. I know there's a lot of negativity about it, but I want to tell you right now, the number of people that I have heard that are hearing the gospel now, not only through this ministry, ministries all over the place, is astounding to me. Astounding. The things that I have been hearing that are going on leaves me in awe of what God has used this for. To merely even reach believers in and of themselves. This is not even talking about the lost who are now seeking, and I've heard story after story of ones who have professed faith in Christ now due to this, bringing that place of hopelessness, and this hope in Jesus Christ now has replaced this hopelessness, and now they are, as followers of Christ, immersed in the new life in Christ that God's given them in this new life, this new walk. Even those verses that God has laid on my heart to do in the mornings, it's been astounding to see how many people have been encouraged by them and the stories of ones who've texted me, who've sent messages and encouraging, and how profound it's been in their lives. Just that little 2 minutes in the morning, be encouraged with a Bible verse and the things that God has laid on my heart afterward. Listen, if it hadn't been for this, I wouldn't be doing that. See, God used that and led me to do that as a result of this. How many pastors and churches now, the gospel's going forth, and had this not happened, it wouldn't be happening. So that's why it's so easy to look at the negatives of this. Who cares about money? God's got us taken care of. Don't worry about that part of it. God will hold us. He'll protect us. He'll provide. Look at the positives that God has done and the beautiful things that God is continuing to do through this. Look at those blessings. Because if not, the enemy will only blind us with the negatives of this and leave us embittered, frustrated, and aggravated, when in reality, we can yield ourselves to a heart of worship as a result of this, realizing that God's plans and his purposes, and what I preached about weeks ago in Romans 8:28, that promise that all things will work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. So God has something he's doing, he is doing. I clearly know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I praise him for that. And I'm excited to see the fruit that comes forth as a result of that. And I'm praying that these little churches that are now online will continue to do that, and that after this, they won't just say, well, we're not having to do this anymore, so we'll stop. I pray that we literally continue to bombard social media, YouTube, and whatever else with the gospel, so that literally every place that somebody turns, they're going to have to wade through message, verse, and whatever else to find something else to look at. That's when you and I take action in the spiritual realm that God ultimately brings a mighty harvest as a result of. Brothers and sisters, my Ebenezer in this, my rock of remembrance in COVID-19 is not that thing where, see, I don't want to hear that word ever again. I've heard some people had a thing on a news thing said, I don't ever want to hear that word again. I hope I hear it every day for the rest of my life. You know why? Because that word to me represents worship now. It represents people who are now hearing the gospel that never would have heard the gospel apart from this happening. Because why? We were so overfed, unconcerned, indifferent, and complacent in this nation. We were so well fed, we were sitting back, and people have not had something that has brought them to that point of desperation that would make them seek. I thank God for it. I think the 1918 flu was the same thing. God used that to do a mighty shaking of this nation, and all these things throughout history that God's done has been with the purpose to shake this nation and the hearts of men and women into desperation so that they might look up to the God that is desiring to reach down and meet them right where they're at. Tonight, what is your Ebenezer? What are your Ebenezers? You had a time in your marriage that you almost got divorced. Well, I hope that's a rock of remembrance and Ebenezer in your life. Why? Realizing how not taking sacred the blessing of that relationship and that time together how quickly and how easily you can drift apart. Relationships take work. Families take work. It's tough being involved in a family. It's a great blessing. It's commitment. And see, again, we've had a culture that is now so devoid and so separated from commitment that we really don't know what commitment is anymore. See, when you almost lose something, there was a song from the 90s sang by a group, I think it was called Cinderella Says, don't know what you got till it's gone. It's almost a spiritual principle, isn't it? You don't know what you got till it's gone. It's really easy, isn't it? To take for granted these things that God has blessed us with. Hey, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, 60 days ago, every one of us, including myself, took for granted the blessed fellowship of the body of Christ. We've been shook, hadn't we? Amen. I can bet you for a long time, we're not going to take for granted what we have in being able to assemble together. And we won't do in our subconscious minds what we've done before. I hear him talk about what would happen if we couldn't meet. Yeah, right. I bet we won't, will we? We know now that in a matter of a few days, that can be taken away from us. Whether it's through sickness or anything else for that matter. Anything can happen. We know that. The only thing we're promised is that Jesus Christ died for our sin. He loves us, and there's a guarantee one day that we as followers of Christ can enter his presence as a regenerate follower of Jesus Christ, dressed in his righteousness, and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or there is also the promise that if we reject that free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, the Bible says we will hear those words, depart from me, you cursed one, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Everything else in life, brothers and sisters, is on sinking sand. It's shifting day in and day out. What's your rock of remembrance this morning? What's COVID-19? Is that going to go from that word that you didn't want to ever hear again? And I pray God just convicted you as we've been talking and we've been looking at this. And now you can see that and start to go, you know what? It's not just because of me. I've been reading so many things all over the world in a spiritual sense of what God's doing. I would challenge you to start doing that too. You won't want it to stop, by the way, when you see, because you'll want pain to get greater and more intense so that more people will hear the gospel and more people will hear the truth and come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Could you imagine if we had millions and millions of people just in this nation alone that went bananas for Jesus as new followers of Christ? Can you imagine the revivals in Acts chapter 2? What? They sold all their possessions. They gave to others they had need. They were breaking bread daily in their homes, and they were all of one heart. Can you imagine how awesome that would be again? So we think there's no way that could happen. Yeah, it can't happen when we have our, well, I'm not going to have nobody live with me mindset. No, I got to have my space mindset. How about the space of, you know what, Lord, I don't care what you do. I am yours. I am sold out to the gospel of Jesus Christ as a slave to you, Jesus, and I don't care what you take. I don't care if you put a whole entire church full of people in my home. God, let me be a living sacrifice for you, and everything that I am and have is given to you as a sacrificial act of worship by which I am proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ with the very breath that I breathe unashamedly. Or you can throw everything I just said out the window and said, I'm going to live like I want to live. I'm going to serve God how I want to serve him. I don't buy into all that. Don't have to. By the way, you and I don't have to buy in the truth being truth. We can categorically reject everything that Jesus says to be. You can turn away somebody who is naked and homeless and sick and in prison. You can turn them away. Once you read Matthew chapter 25, though, and you'll find out a whole lot about what God speaks to in that also. Truth isn't truth just because I spoke it. I don't have any corner or edge on truth. I know that the gospel is truth. And the gospel is by which the authorizing factor for the truth that we know this morning, because it's rooted in the very person of who God is. Holiness, godliness, truth, and righteousness. And when the Bible says in Matthew 25, he'll separate the sheep from the goats, what is it? The very life that they live manifests the Creator they serve or do not serve. Again, life will include earth-shattering events. Don't ever forget that. It will. They're going to happen. You don't live your life scared to death that they're going to happen. No, you live committed. You live sold out. And you say, God, I know it's going to happen. I know in your time, Father, I don't understand it, but I know that I'm rested and I'm anchored in you, God, and I will go forth and you will give me the ability to handle them as they come. Number two again, worship always comes before war. Don't allow anybody you even know to go into battle before they lift up a sacrifice of worship to the Lord, as we see Samuel do right here. There is no battle that you and I can fight that we will win that is even worth winning unless we go, and it's a battle that God wants us to fight. And when we go to him in worship and seek his face, God will give us the insight to whether this war is one that he wants us to fight in the first place, or maybe he will do what he did here and thunder loudly and allow your enemy to flee and you never have to lift one finger. What will that do? That will be the greatest glorifier of King Jesus that you and I can ever do. Again, then finally, let your Ebenezer, your rock of remembrance, remind you of God's faithfulness. You know, God is faithful this morning, church. I want to tell you, he's faithful. In my 45 years, God has proved himself faithful over and over and over again. There's one thing that I know in life. It is short. Life is so short. This morning, what are you investing in? This morning, what are those things that are your rocks of remembrance? What's reminding you of what God's done in your life? Are you seeing events as these negative things that you never want to have to go through again or to be involved in? And I hear people say, oh, let's just start. Hey, 2021, where are you? Imagine if you or I could push a button right now and this never happened. Now, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt at least one person's come to Christ, even just the odds alone. We know many more have, but let's just say that only one person came to Christ, and this COVID-19 was the result of that. Would you push the button and say, I would have all of it not happen, and that person would not have come to Christ because that one person isn't worth it? What if you're that one person? What if it's your child? What if it's your little daughter, your little son? What if it's your husband that you've been praying for decades? What if it's your precious wife that you've been crying out the Lord for, that she'd come to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior? Don't think it's worth it anymore? See, it is. And even if only one came to Christ, the Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven when one lost sheep comes home than there was for the 99 sheep that didn't need to repent. The Lord, I'm just going to put it in layman's terms, God gets excited about people coming to Christ. He sent Jesus so that could happen. And this morning, my question to you this morning is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you, this morning, not even really understand an Ebenezer because you've never come to that place where you genuinely realize that you're separated from God? But this morning, the gospel has rang as clear and as striking and as shakingly as it ever could for you this morning. And you now realize how far you're separated from God. And you realize that if something happened to you right now, you don't know what you would do. I've got good news for you today. Jesus loves you. He knows you. He created you. He died for you. He rose from the grave. He paid the sin debt this morning for one sole purpose, to reunite you to God, the God that created you, that sin had separated you and I from. Jesus Christ paid the price so that you and I this morning can rejoin fellowship through that sacrifice. This morning, do you want to do that? I want to tell you this morning, you can do that wherever you're at. You don't have to have somebody with you. If right now you realize and you recognize that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not walking, you're not in fellowship with the God of creation, and your desire is to, because you realize how wretched, how broken you are, You know Jesus Christ walked on this earth with the sole purpose of dying, paying that sin debt for mankind, and rising from the grave 3 days later. If that's you this morning and you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, you can pray to receive Jesus Christ wherever you are today. Your prayer, you can pray it however you want, but it can go something like this. Father, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and God, I know that Jesus died for me. Lord, this morning, I give you my everything. Lord, I give you my brokenness. I give you my sin. And Lord, I want nothing more than to have Jesus Christ save me and to cleanse me right now. Lord, send the Holy Spirit to dwell in me, to guide me and direct me in this new life as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a Christian. And Lord, I ask this now in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's what salvation is. It's recognizing that you're separated from God. It's recognizing that Jesus Christ is the only bridge, the only gateway to restore fellowship to the Father. And it's professing that with your mouth, believing it in your heart. The Bible says that you shall be saved. If you do that this morning, I want to challenge you to reach out on our website. Down the page, we have a contact link. That will come directly to me, nobody else. I would encourage you to share that with me. And the reason is I want to encourage you in your new walk with Christ. I also want to get you plugged in to a Bible-believing church if you don't live close. I want some people to help walk with you, to get you, want to make sure you have a Bible. We want to make sure we can do everything possible so that you can grow, you can mature, and that you won't be defeated, and you won't let the enemy will not take and discourage you, and you will be able to do what the Bible says to assemble, to encourage, have those brothers and sisters walking with you, praying for and praying with you. If you rededicate your life this morning, please reach out to me. If you have prayers that you need us to lift up, and please share those with us. We care about you. You are a brother or sister in Christ. Whether we've ever met you or not doesn't matter. It's not even the point. As a follower of Christ, we are one. We are a family. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the beautiful gift of salvation this morning. God, I thank you, Lord, for this message this morning on the Ebenezer, these rocks of remembrance. God, help us understand how important they are. Lord, all these things that you allow us to go through, Father, and these things, God, that you show your power in our lives through. Lord, let us never forget your faithfulness, God, the mighty deliverance that you continually do for us. And whether it is in battle that you deliver us through, God, whether it's your supernatural provision that you continually, your blessings, your grace that you lavish on us, Father, thank you for your mercy. God, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Father, I pray for ones this morning that are struggling, God, that don't understand why things are happening. Father, let them see the beauty of what you're doing all over the world through this. Bring them to an attitude and a heart of rejoicing. Lord, bring our people to the attitude of being thankful, not taking for granted this assembly and this fellowship of believers that we have together that you have blessed us with. Thank you for every person involved in this ministry, every man, woman, and child that sits in the pews week in and week out. God, ones that sacrifice playing the music, the instruments, Father, leading in worship. God, every person in the media department that from the ones that help get it online on Sundays to the Facebook and all these different avenues with which the ministry is going forth. Thank you, God, for them. Father, thank you for the next generation that you've blessed us with, these little ones, that if you tarry, God, we will hand the baton to. Lord, let us be passionate and faithful, God, to teach them what they believe, why they believe it, and how to defend that, Father, so that as we pass that baton to them one day, they will go out with an even greater passion and fervor to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the coming generations, Father. Lord, let us teach us to number our days, God, that we might be faithful, Lord. Give us a heart of wisdom. And Lord, I pray this morning, above all, that you have been lifted up, glorified, and exalted as you deserve to be. You are our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. We ask all this morning in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.